Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number 2, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. We'll be joined by Vanderbilt men's basketball coach Mark Byington a little bit later this hour at 7:30. Get into Vanderbilt's great start to the season with him. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock will be with us. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. So, Joe, as we sit here today, December the 13th, this is the part of the season we've now reached. Titans are eliminated from playoff contention, officially, as if that wasn't unofficial. About 2 months ago, they still have the string to play out here with 4 more games coming up. And the question remains about the quarterback. Will Levis has come back from the shoulder injury and has played better, albeit a disappointing performance from him and the entire team this last Sunday against Jacksonville. But Joe, prior to that game, we did hear from a lot of Titans fans that said, you know what, with the way that he's played lately, the other options that are out there at quarterback, both in the draft and in free agency, looking ahead to the offseason, that don't seem overly exciting. Why not bring Will Levis back? Why not make him the quarterback again next year and then evaluate after that? See where you're at it with the quarterback position and go from there. Now, others, Joe, have been pretty steadfast over the last few weeks that it's time to move on from Will Levis. It's time to address the next quarterback in the draft. And that's the plan for them as they move forward. I would love to know, if you're a Titans fan sitting here today, what is your current plan at quarterback? Do you want to see Will Levis back for a third season and to have another chance to prove that he's the long-term guy? Do you want to see Will Levis back as the starting quarterback next year because you don't like the other options that are out there? Or are you convinced that it's time to move on and go get another quarterback, whether that's in the draft or via free agency or trade in the offseason? I would love to know where Titans fans sit on this issue as we sit here today on Friday, December the 13th.
I'd like to know specifically how many think that he is going to be what you hoped. Because I think there's a lot of people that say, well, yeah, I mean, another year, it makes sense, because right now I don't like the rest of the field. I don't like the reality of – I don't understand people talking about Sam Darnold, you know, who knows what will happen there. I think it's getting close to me to where the Vikings, I think, would be kind of crazy to not try to keep him. They could, they could tag him. But even if he somehow ends up out there, what's the selling point for him to come to your team?
Right.
You know, I just think that's a pipe dream. But that's what I like to know, is how many people still now, through everything, and again, it's not been all bad, it's gotten better lately, believe that he is going to be that guy, that franchise. Even if not, I'm not talking he's going to be one of the greats, but like, you know, a guy that you're fine at quarterback now. He can be at least around the top half of the league, a good starting quarterback, where you now eventually he does get that second deal and you're building around him. I mean, that to me, you know, I'm not talking about he's going to turn into Joe Burrow or whatever.
Yeah.
How many people believe that still? You know, I think some, but I bet you that's a small number. And then what does that number compare to how many people are convinced he's absolutely not going to be the guy? Get him out of here. I don't want to hear from him anymore.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I would agree with you. I think the number is probably pretty small that believe that he is going to be what you hoped he would be when they drafted him. And again, I'm not talking Mahomes. I'm not talking, you know, one of your top 3 or 4 elite quarterbacks in the league, but a guy that you feel pretty good about being your long-term answer and giving you a chance to win and win at a high level. Like, I doubt very seriously there's a ton of Titans fans that still have a lot of confidence in that. I guess the real question is, like, what does this all mean for the Titans in terms of his evaluation? Like, we can get back into the, like, the front office and the head coaching staff and what their future looks like here. But let's just assume, for the sake of this discussion, that they're going to be the ones making the decision here. Like, what does it all mean in terms of where he started this season, where he is now, how that lined up with their preseason expectations, and how they view the rest of the picture? Like, I'm with you. Darnold just doesn't really seem like a very realistic option. I mean, I think Minnesota at this point would be nuts to let him go, and I realize that they drafted J.J. McCarthy high. So they're going to have to figure that part of it out, that dynamic out, and it's a good problem to have if you're them. But I just don't know that Darnold is going to be like some realistic option here. So if it's not him, like, the free agent part of this at quarterback doesn't look great. We've gone through some of the names. None of them are overly exciting. So is there a trade part? Is there a trade out there that you would be able to make for a veteran quarterback? And also, Joe, here's the other thing. Let's say there is a trade out there to make for a veteran quarterback, whether that's a Stafford or somebody of that ilk.
Cousins.
Does that make any sense if you're the Titans right now? Like, you're going to get one of those aging veteran quarterbacks and you're giving up presumably significant draft capital to do it on a team that already needs as much draft capital as they can get? Like, does that really make a lot of sense for the Titans to entertain that this offseason?
It's a hard sell for me because, again, then you're not giving that quarterback much of a chance. You take a draft capital away from a roster that has so many needs, which is the case for Hope Levis keeps improving. And as you build the team around him, you know, one, there's more evaluation of him. Maybe he takes off. But also then at some point you've got it to the point where now whoever comes in next has a better situation. Terrell on the text line says, I'll take Jameis Winston. There's a lot of reaction on the text line, by the way. But, yeah, Jameis Winston is, I mean, look, beyond the entertainment value. I mean, I still watch him, and I'm intrigued. And I'm like, the guy can wing it around the yard, man, you know. And then he'll throw that pick, and you're like, oh, my gosh.
Which, you know? By the way, at this point, is not going away. Like, I think you know what he is. Like, he's going to put up a lot of numbers.
I mean, it's kind of like, right? He's like Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? Like the new generation's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, he'll come in and like tear it up, but then it's like, oh, that's why, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
but you know, I mean, it, you could still make the case for that. I mean, it's
like, you know, my thoughts on him.
Sure. I mean, as a placeholder quarterback, that's at least not. I mean, obviously, that's a low cost, right?
Yeah,
placeholder quarterback and do the same thing that I just said, which is build up, you know, and try to figure out your next real long-term move at the position.
Well, and then there's the draft part of it, and we have not gone too deep into the weeds of the draft talk at this point because I've done my darndest to avoid that before we're about to get into an off-season's worth of draft talk before it comes around finally in April. But, I mean, we're getting pretty close to that point where you start to look at it if you're the Titans, right? And, you know, there's the Cam Ward part of this, Shedeur Sanders. How do people view Jalen Milroe heading into this? What about Carson Beck? You know, what about Quinn Ewers? Like, how do people view him? I mean, Garrett Nussmeier is staying at LSU, so you can take one of those off the board. So I look at my general thoughts on the quarterback class right now, Joe. There's a couple that I like their potential. I also think that there's a lot of warts with these guys. Like Cam Ward, I think, is a good example. Cam Ward can make some throws where you're just like, wow, I mean, that's a heck of a throw. That's a heck of an arm that Cam Ward has. And then he'll make some decisions that are in some ways kind of similar to Will Levis that leave you just with your mouth hanging wide open and saying, like, what are you doing? Like, why would you even think to do that if you're Cam Ward? Shedeur Sanders really doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes, right? Like, he doesn't turn the ball over a whole lot. He's had another good season with Colorado. You know, he's not necessarily the most athletic guy. He's not got your huge prototypical size at the quarterback position either. And what exactly, like, what kind of a pro does he project to be? Like, we'll have TD on later. I know he really likes Shedeur Sanders. And he said yesterday that, you know, if the Titans ended up with the number one pick, he takes Shedeur Sanders. So there are some people that really like him. There are some people that don't think he's going to project to be all that great of an NFL quarterback. You know, and then you get into the rest of the field, Joe, like the, you know, the Becks and the Ewers and the Milrows of the world. Those guys have a lot of warts, and that would make me a nervous wreck if you're drafting one of those guys, particularly high in the draft with one of, you know, your top pick, you know, top five pick in the draft. I just don't know that I can get there with any of those guys.
I agree. I mean, I think Ewers, I think there's a good chance he's at another college team as Archer Manning takes over at Texas.
Yeah.
Text line, by the way, is popping and overwhelmingly for do another year with Levis, but not, you know, not 100%, but do another year with Levis. But yeah, Sanders is, I will say with Shedeur Sanders, there is, I mean, it's just the accuracy, you know? I mean, yeah. And when it comes down to it, what is more important? If you see the field and you're accurate with the football. I know, I think some people with him, of course, it'll, you know, his dad will be, by the way, his jersey right there behind me, Cowboys jersey on the wall. But his dad will be something that I think, to me, people make way bigger deal out of. Yeah, he'll say some stuff in the media. He's coaching a team. I mean, like, I don't think, you know, people think Deion's just going to, like, be like a helicopter parent in that city and just, I mean, he'll probably like rip the coach or whatever after if his kid's struggling and stuff like that. But I don't think that's some big deal. I really don't. Now, maybe, you know, in the draft process itself, I mean, Deion has said some things to that effect, but
yeah,
I'm intrigued by him. I'm intrigued by Cam Ward. Cam Ward is super talented.
He's fun, man. Yeah.
I mean, the throws he makes and the plays he makes, with him, it is a little bit of, sometimes it's like, whoa, that one, what are you doing with that? I mean, some of the death picks like Levis, frankly, you know, but there's a lot there, I think. So, I think it's, you know, again, if you fall in love with one of these guys and you're able to get there, then you have to do it. But of course, if you do it, if you're this front office, and this is where Amy, it's like, this is such an interesting thing for her. If you're her and they're that high in the draft, they've done that poorly. They're like 4-13, whatever. And they're able to get one of these quarterbacks, you know, again. So now they're going to draft that guy. And then what are you going to be next year?
Yeah.
You know, but that's what you have to be signing up for, right? You have to understand, okay, well, I'm letting these guys do it. This is their quarterback. And so that means to me, they've got to get like probably two more years, don't they?
That'd be a tough sell for me.
It would, but it's like, oh, if not, then you're the Bears, you know, where then you're like, okay, let's give it a shot. Oh, this year you were bad, like you should have been. Okay, you're fired now. Let's bring in somebody all new who inherits this quarterback. I mean, that's where the timelines. I really believe in, you know, timelines matching up if you can.
Which is why I think if you're going to draft a quarterback, you probably need to go ahead and make a move. That's my guess. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on the quarterback position for the Titans. Will Levis, does it make sense to bring him back? Do you want him as the starter next year, or do you want to go another route? More of your thoughts on that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the quarterback position. Let's head back to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Hello, Tim. Tim, are you there? I don't think we have Tim. Call us back, Tim. We'll take more of your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So the general consensus that you come up with, Joe, on the text line is to go back with Levis for another year. I mean, I would assume that the reasoning for that largely is because you don't love the other options if you're a Titans fan out there, but either in the draft or in free agency.
I say that again. I'm sorry. Tim threw me off.
No, I'm just saying the general consensus seems to be people want to go back with Levis next year.
Yeah, there's a lot more of that. There's some not. But, yeah, it's probably, you know, like Trevor, ride with Levis another year, trade down, acquire more capital, replenish the roster. There's been a lot of that, too, of course. I get it. Someone suggested, okay, let's say you fall just below, like, the quarterbacks, but you're in position to draft Travis Hunter. Okay, yeah. There's another possibility you could trade down, and I agree. Now, look, Travis Hunter, first of all, I could make the case for you to take him, okay, because he's pretty special. But even if that's your plan, I'm sure someone would want to get there to get him. But there's still a big difference to me between the haul you could get to be at the top of the draft with like the quarterback, if there was a the quarterback, which really there isn't, but you know, maybe there will be by then. And the difference between that and like, you know, the best position player is still pretty significant in what you can get back. You can get something back for sure, obviously, if someone really is in love with Travis Hunter. But like the John Robinson haul of 2016, number one overall pick, Jared Goff is that guy. You know, yeah, that's where you can really load up, and I don't see that happening.
You ready for what I think could be a realistic scenario that Titans fans are not going to like whatsoever? Like, what happens if you're picking like sixth in the draft and you're not going to land one of those top two quarterbacks? And maybe there is an option to move back and pick up some more draft capital, but as you said earlier, the experts, and again, this could change by the time we get to the draft, but at sitting here today in December, people don't think this is necessarily a great class for tackle. Well, you need a right tackle. So what happens if you draft a tackle at like sixth overall? I'm sure Titans fans be ready for that. Be real fired up for that.
Yeah, boy, that'd be a tough sell. Now you make me, you're gonna make me go to a mock draft, aren't you? I mean, I think like
drafting a left tackle, moving Latham over to right. Heard that the idea thrown out there yesterday too.
No, oh, there you go. That would go over really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes these things change, but the word on the street from the draft analysts is that, you know, that the tackles are not like, I don't know that there are, I think Banks from Texas is, you know, viewed as a, you know, as a first rounder, but it's not what it has been in the past. Again, if there's one you love, then you can do it. You know, yeah. I mean, it's, but yeah, I mean, think about that. Just the tapestry of high drafted tackles for the Titans. I guess if you keep doing, at some point you have to hit on one, right?
Yeah, I think so. By the way, Jacob on the YouTube chat saying, I love how Joe is broadcasting from Jerry Jones's basement. Good stuff. Good for you, Joe.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, hey, man, I mean, I'm not going to do it, but I could swing this around. I got Cowboys helmets. I got multiple. I got a Legos cowboy helmet up here. yeah. Again, we got like signed Dion and Jason Witten jerseys behind me. And whoo boy, it's funny. So real quick, shout out to my nephew, Liam, who his playlist includes Pink Floyd, Deep Purple. I'm very proud of him, but he, a big Cowboys fan, just, you know, growing up like this. But now the Lions are his number two. So,
oh,
so the Lions are starting to, you know, sort of infringe on Cowboys territory now, just letting you know.
Yep, absolutely. So on the Levis front, like if you're him looking at this, I mean, I can't envision a scenario where you're back next year that's anything other than, well, it's a prove-it year again for you. Like, right? Like, yeah, you're going to be, let's say Levis is a starting quarterback again next year for the Titans. It's basically going to be the same talking points that we had heading into this year, right? Other than you're 1 year closer to that decision date with the contract. Like, that's the difference, right? Like, you'd be in year three on a 4-year deal as a second round pick, and you'd be 1 year closer to that decision point on a contract. But like all the pressure, all the decisions that we've talked about heading into the season in terms of him and where things stand with the quarterback market, you'd be right back with it again next year if you're Will Levis, and that's the route the Titans choose to go.
Yeah, but I mean, if that's the case and you're him, you should be grateful. You
know? I agree.
I mean, that's all you can, you know, you get another offseason, try to grow. And look, he would never say this, but also you sitting there like, please freaking give me some offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Like, can I get a young, you know, another receiver? You know, I mean, Hopkins is gone. Give me like a young receiver who can actually play, et cetera, right? I mean, if you're him, certainly you're like, can I have one season without a Buns offensive line? You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's, but no question. You know, it would have had to have been, I mean, you know, a Jaden Daniels, Stroud last year type of year this year for Levis to be any, you know what I mean, to be anything but more than just basically another prove it year.
Yep, no doubt about it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Mark Byington, Vanderbilt men's basketball coach. We'll get his thoughts on the way the season has gone to this point. Look ahead to conference play as well. 102.5 The Game, Cromwell Media have teamed up with the Nashville Predators for Coats for Kids, benefiting the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee. Starting on Monday, you could donate new or slightly used coats at the game studio and at the Ford Ice Centers in Antioch, Bellevue, and Clarksville. Also, on Friday, December the 20th, the game will be at the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue from 9 to 6, taking donations, giving away swag, and tickets to an upcoming Preds game. Coat donations will be accepted at the Preds home game, also on December 21st at Bridgestone Arena as well, so keep that in mind. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com/coats. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Friday morning. Vanderbilt men's basketball team off to a hot start this season at 9-1. To help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Vanderbilt men's basketball coach Mark Byington to the program. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Mark, I just mentioned it. You guys off to a great start this year. You've taken down Virginia Tech, big win against TCU. What have you made of the start to your season? What have you learned about this group to this point?
Yeah, I mean, you said the key word there. It's just the start. And I'm almost, I had the philosophy of us just getting better, throughout the season. And I take pride in you watching us in November and us looking better in December. And then same thing when we get to January, February, March. And, we did a really good job in November of really just coming together as a team. A lot of new guys, pretty much everybody's a new guy. They came together and they've been playing unselfish. And I think the big thing, if you watch our team, it's a lot of times it's a different guy every night. And guys are contributing in different ways and they're contributing to winning.
So how do you foster that? I mean, is it as simple as you just have to spend as much time together as possible? Obviously you're playing as much as you can, things like that, but how do you accelerate a process like that when you're completely new, like you said, Mark?
It's not easy, but actually it's kind of modern college athletics, especially college basketball, where there's guys transferring in and there's going to be major turnovers on your roster. So, with just a little experience of having it, in the last couple years, you got to find guys who care about winning first and care about each other. And you got to basically vet that in the recruiting process. And if they're coming in for individual, goals and that's their sole thing for transferring or coming in, then they're not going to care about winning. They're not going to care about somebody else around them. So really in the recruiting process, you're trying to turn that speed dating as fast as possible, find guys who, fit Vanderbilt but also, fit what you want to in a basketball culture.
So Mark, what about the performance from Jason Edwards when you guys took down TCU 83-74, the final score, he scores 30 off the bench. What did you make of his performance and that win for you guys?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm dating myself, but there was a guy with the Detroit Pistons back in the day, Vinny the Microwave Johnson.
And, baby, loved him.
Yeah, and on that Pistons team, he would just come in and just what the word is, he would get heated up quickly, and it doesn't take Jason Edwards very long to get heated up. He can score in bunches. I like the fact that if you look at his shooting percentages, shooting numbers, they're way up from where they were in the rest of his career, shooting at a better percentage. And we're going to need him to score. And, he's about dynamic score, can do it in different ways and do it quickly. But I think he's doing a really good job of kind of doing it in the framework of the team and our offense and figuring out when it's his time to go.
Yeah, you just brought up my favorite sports team of all time, the Bad Boys Pistons. So, much love for
the
Microwave.
I was a Bulls fan, so I hated them, but then
yeah,
you start respecting them.
yeah. Michael Jordan 1-3 against the Pistons in the playoffs, actually. But
here we go.
I know. Yeah, sorry. I bring it up from time to time. But Mark, Jason has started 7 games for you guys, and like you said, that was Vinny Johnson's role. Is that how you envision him then this year? Is he work best as a guy who kind of changes the pace of the game coming off the bench and can give you that scoring?
No, nothing's permanent with us. And roles evolve and roles change and the team needs change. And, you know, what we needed for him the last couple of games is, you know, we needed that kind of just energy and spark off the bench. And it kind of fit with the first half of him playing with guys that kind of fit with what he's going to do on the court and allows him to be great. And I like the fact right now, I mean, you look at our so-called bench. To me, they're starters that just don't get introduced in the game to start the game. But MJ Collins has a huge game, you know, coming off the bench at Virginia Tech, and Tyler Tanner's been fantastic all year. He's a freshman, you know, he's 18 years old. He probably looks like he's 15, but he plays like he's 25. I mean, he's out there just changing the game, you know, defensively and with his energy.
So, Mark, I've got to ask you. I mean, conference play is right around the corner when the calendar flips to 2025. You know, what the SEC has been able to do so far has been, you know, outrageous. In the SEC, ACC Challenge, I mean, just huge wins all across the board. Rex Rhodes has called it the best college basketball conference he's ever seen, and you guys haven't even gotten into conference play yet. So just what do you make of the league that you're stepping into and just the state of SEC basketball and where you guys kind of fit into it as we're getting ready for conference play here in just a few weeks?
Yeah, there are some numbers that are backing up what Rex Rhodes said. You know, we're getting the analytics and the numbers saying that, you know, it might be the best conference basketball league for the year of all time. And for me, I was laughing to somebody today. I was like, look, I knew I was going to the SEC. I didn't know I was going in the NBA South. And that's what it kind of feels like, where everybody's good. And, you know, I knew it was going to be a challenge. It's probably way more than even, you know, I was anticipating. But at the same time, with what everybody's done non-conference, you know, there's going to be great win possibilities in the league, and there's no such thing as a bad loss. And sometimes you get to that selection Sunday and you see, you know, they put that category up there of bad losses. There won't be any of those that has a SEC team saying bad loss. And you got to get in that league as win as many as you can. But that's still a month from now. So, you know, it's one thing to sit there and say, all right, we know that's coming. The best way you prepare for that is today, get better in practice and continue to get better day by day. And by the time our numbers call and the game times for these SEC games, you know, we better be the best we can be.
And of course, you know, Mark, as you know, look, I mean, 8 years ago, we were talking here about, gosh, how is SEC men's basketball this bad? You know, it's so many of these programs have obviously invested, they made good coaching hires, a lot of things that have to go along with this. And I'm looking at Vanderbilt right now, you know, this football season that you guys just had, obviously Shea Ralph has it rolling with her program. The facilities are coming on. I know that obviously facilities may not be as important now with NIL and everything, but still you have to have good facilities, right? And you guys are going to have them. What do you see, you know, I guess your place in the SEC as a basketball program, but also the larger picture of the athletic department right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a better time to be a part of Vanderbilt sports than right now. Right now, I'm looking out my office, and we got a brand-new practice facility we just moved in on Monday. And my view overlooks the football field. I'm looking in the back of the football stadium, and they're building luxury suites and expanding the stadium. And then, obviously, the success the football team had. You mentioned Shay. They got a terrific team. If you haven't seen them play, they got one of the best freshmen in the country. Actually, one of the best players in the country. She just happens to be a freshman. And, you know, they're the Tim Corbin and kind of what he's been doing. But at the same time, like, the SEC, I think, really invested in basketball. If you're talking about, you know, my kind of theory from the outside, now I'm on the inside. And, you know, it was the coaches, it was facility, it's NIL, to where – you know, it wasn't going to be something where, you know, football, you know, did their thing and then you're kind of waiting for football season next year. You know, I think they wanted to have, you know, the national attention in the winter. And the next thing is for the SEC to do really well in the NCAA tournament. And that hasn't been that way, you know, here recently. But, I mean, if you kind of did a projected brackets right now, there's probably might be two or three number one seeds out of the SEC right now. It's that good. So, you know, the time in the SEC is challenging, but it really is. It's the best in every sport. you know, football, baseball, basketball, you pick the sport, gymnastics, you pick it. And it's an honor to be a part of it. It's a challenge to be a part of it. But you want to go against the best. You want to be in this league.
No doubt about it. Well, Mark, really appreciate your time. As always, look forward to watching you guys the rest of the season here, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you all.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. Vanderbilt men's basketball coach Mark Byington, our guest here on the program. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. We'll have Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
One story I always heard was, Billy's first words were, beat Duke.
Okay, shh, here he comes.
Hiya, Mr. Belichick.
Who the heck are you? What do you want?
We are Carolina Football.
Chancellor, thank you for the sweatshirt, but truth of the matter is, I already have one. It's good to have two. It's actually my dad's from when he coached here.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours with the beautiful dulcet tones of Bill Belichick in the background.
Yeah, and in my background, look, I have this Deion Sanders and Jason Witten jerseys. You know, that could have been his, man. He could have been part of Cowboys lore if he would have stuck it out, you know. We could have had Jerry and Bill, and that would have been a lot of fun. But instead, he went to college football and then tried to spin it that he was telling the NFL, I break up with you. You don't break up with me, I break up with you, when in reality the NFL has broken up with Bill Belichick, but that's okay. I'm not really ranting about him. I'm going to bet on the disappointing. I don't know, like total disaster. I don't know that this is going to be like, you know, Urban Meyer with the Jags, or like Charlie Weiss with Kansas or something like that.
Is Matt Patricia going to be his offensive coordinator? Because if that's the case, I'll go disaster.
Oh, my gosh. I hadn't even thought about that one. I guess it's not going to be Josh McDaniels, so that's probably good. But I'm gonna bet it's not going to be what they hope. But I want to talk – I just want to – really what I want to do today, Robbie, is I want to set the record straight on this. This thing really got something that we have – again, I mean, most of these rants are just recycled, aren't they, because of different situations. And so here's another one, which is reporting, man. Reporting in anonymous sources – there was a reporter yesterday, and I don't remember his name, and I don't care to. There's another one on Twitter, and one who went on, I think, Dan Lebatard's show, like basically, trying to dance around, thump the chest, take credit. I know the guy who it's like Inside Carolina went on a Lebatard's show was basically like talking trash to Adam Schefter, like, I broke this story and all this stuff. So I know a fair amount about this just from basically from observing coworkers doing correct reporting on this and like actually reporting things that are truly happening. And anybody who said that this was done like 2 days ago or even early yesterday, and that when others, including us, The Athletic, were reporting, and Adam Schefter at ESPN were reporting, yeah, it's not done. They haven't got to the finish line. Like, there's hangups. There's money. Like, they have not hit the money. See, that was correct. So this is like what people, so when people, you do something, report something inaccurately because you went with a not the best source, or you didn't get both sides of a story, and then later it happens, and then you get to try to dunk on people and say you had it first. No, B freaking S. You did not. You actually were wrong. So another thing that happened in this is that our guys, Ralph Russo, friend of the show, and Brendan Marks reported that the contract was 3 years for $30 million.
Yeah.
And then the agent got out there that it was 5 for $50 million when we actually got our hands. So our reporters actually apologized publicly and said, you know, sorry for the, you know, got it wrong. Then because that's the report that came out, and it said apparently they thought it was 5. You see the contract, it is a 3-year. It's a 3-year contract with 2-year options, so they were correct. That's how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to take accountability. Even if you're not certain that you're wrong, you're not supposed to go out there and brag and BS people when you did not have it. Also, the 400-page thing, yeah. I mean, Belichick laughed at that crap yesterday. I mean, it's just, you know. It's
the
just,
Belichick Bible is what they referred to it as.
Yeah. I mean, what do you say, like, who the hell has a 400-page document? Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's just whatever.
It's like Dave Chappelle up there yesterday, just funny as can be.
Yeah, I was I wanted a little more. I wanted a little more from him. But anyway, I'll stop now. But just like, if you have something, great, and then you can go ahead and thump your chest. As much as Adam Schefter gets crap, and you know that I sometimes dish it out there, like, you know, that guy does have sources, and like this idea that he's out there putting fake stuff out. He doesn't get stuff wrong too often, does he?
No.
No, he does not. It's just really, it's beyond annoying. It's just irresponsible, and it pisses me off. So that's it.
What do you make of the report that's out there that Belichick's buyout after 1 year goes down to like $1 million? Leaving a little leeway there for the NFL?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, basically, and I think that's part of, by the way, why it wasn't done 2 days ago when people were trying to claim it was. I think that's a pretty significant part of this whole thing, isn't it? That essentially, if all of a sudden the NFL's like, oh, Bill, nice 9-3 season. How about little NFL? You say, well, thanks, Carolina. I really enjoyed my time in college, and that'll do, you know. So yeah, very interesting. I mean, it's obviously built to give him an easy escape if by chance he gets it. And again, then you're asking what NFL team next fall? He's 74,
right?
You know what I mean? And who signed up for that? I mean, I don't know, but if it happens, he's ready.
Well, I agree with what you said from the start. I mean, this feels like the NFL kind of like breaking up with Bill Belichick and him reading the tea leaves and recognizing that there was probably no job offer coming. And it looks like, Joe, I mean, things can change, but you're right. Like, so let's say he has a good year in Carolina. So is somebody going to go hire the 73-year-old to be the head coach of the football team at that point? When you've got, I would think, a long-term vision in mind for your franchise. Like, is that what you're going to do at that point? Like, it feels like this wins record that he's 14 wins shy of is just going to stay that way when it comes to Don Shula. Now, does that really matter at the end of the day? I mean, I'm sure it matters to him, but like, most people generally consider him the greatest NFL coach of all time anyway. So like, how much does that really matter?
Yeah. Well, you know, look, his place in NFL history, you know, the rings matter, you know, right? Like, that's really what matters. He's got those. No one can take him away from him. I will say, when you're that close, and that's a tough record, you know, obviously. That longevity to be able to win that many games in this league is a hell of a record. You're right.
Who knows? Brady may unretire and come win another one at some point with the Raiders, and then that's another one that the Belichick's got to catch up with.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you got that too. Well, apparently Brady is, but there's something came out this week that Brady is just like really heavily, like he's going to have a lot of power in that organization. Next time for Charles, we need to get into that, because again,
then he's going to go call a game on Sunday.
Yeah, like that's fine. If that's really what it's going to be, where he really is like a driving force behind a franchise in the league, he has to stop doing TV. I'm sorry. And if he was awesome at TV, I might not be as stringent on that, but he has to stop.
Hey, he's getting better. I'm enjoying him.
That's what I hear. He's getting better.
He did better?
He did criticize Sean McDermott for just an absolute coaching malpractice, trying to goal line sneak when you could have saved your three timeouts, which is what Dan Campbell did, by the way, with the Lions against the Niners last year too. So yes. Good for Brady for calling that out at least.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. Host of Jake and TD. A lot of things going on with TD out there. We'll get into the Titans, their matchup against the Bengals, all things Titans coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.